These days, the lectionary gives us an opportunity to read some of the important passages from the book of Job. The Sunday before last, we had such a reading, if you remember. There are some very profound questions that the book of Job poses, and one of those questions is in chapter 14, verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? If a man dies, shall he live again? Not that his memory won't live on, not that his children won't live on, not that the influence that his life carried failed to live on, not that his books won't still be read. But he cries, will he as a person live again? That's the big question that our Bible readings answer this morning. Putting it another way, does death have the last word? And the answer to that question, as we all know, is that Jesus has the last word, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Today's gospel reading is the last great miracle recorded in John's gospel. It's the seventh of seven miracles recorded by John. John only writes about seven miracles, and these miracles, or signs as he calls them, all point to one thing: Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He has come to Jerusalem for only one purpose: to die for the sins of the world. Before he can do that, there is one more miraculous sign he needs to perform. And this miraculous sign outdoes all the others. It is the all-time showstopper of miraculous signs. Jesus calls Lazarus back to life after he had been dead for 4 days. So in the light of this event, we now look at three things that must happen to these mortal bodies of ours. Three things that inevitably happen to every human life that is lived. And we ask, does Jesus have the last word on these three things? Disease, death, decay. The suffering caused by disease, the sorrow that death brings, and the stagnation of the decay by which we all finish up. And today's gospel clearly tells us that Jesus has the last word to all three. Today's reading is the very end of a longer passage. The full story of Lazarus takes the whole 11th chapter of John, as we know, and I presume that we all know the story of Lazarus very well. And we have here a description of some of Jesus' emotions. Here are two emotions spoken of Jesus. The first emotion is very unusual one. It's an extraordinary one. Literally, it says in the Greek, he snorted like a horse. That's a bit shocking. It is a word translated here as deeply moved, which implies anger, indignation, or fury. It is an extraordinary emotion, and it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He didn't weep at first. He was indignant. He was disgusted. It's certainly a strange emotion. And let us try to get into Jesus' mind if we can. So why is he like this? I think here is the Son of God, angry, furious, because this kind of sin need never have been. Angry with the devil for ever introducing death into the world. Frustrated and furious that family life would be broken up this way. This is his first reaction. He's just deeply moved and disgusted. In other words, Jesus felt enraged at how the devil had deprived people of their joy. And he says, I have come so that your joy may be full. We look forward to a day when God recreates the whole universe as it was meant to be. And in that new heaven and new earth, we are deliberately told by John and Isaiah in our Old Testament reading that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. The passage we have read from Isaiah says in verse 8, God will swallow up death forever. It tells us that the newly restored age cannot be fully established until every threatening force is removed. This text strongly asserts that God will destroy the last enemy, that is death forever. His second reaction came a little later. They walked to the little cemetery. They buried them in the caves and put a large stone over the entrance. When he got to the tomb, Jesus sobbed. There is no getting around it. Death is horrible and ugly, as the world is witnessing. But because of Jesus Christ, it is not the end. Here on All Saints Sunday, we are looking at an extraordinary passage from Scripture. For in this Scripture, we come upon a man weeping. And this man is none other than the Son of God himself. He is the one through whom and for whom this entire universe was created. He is the God, he is the Word made flesh. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, as our New Testament reading says. He is God, and he is weeping for us and with us because he is confronted with the utter hopelessness of our human condition. His compassion is so great that to see us in this lost state is almost too much for him to bear. We, dear friends, we weren't created to die. We weren't created to live outside a relationship with God. We weren't created for darkness, brokenness, or for accepting loss, life with no meaning, a future without hope, death, chaos, despair. And further we see Jesus said, take away the stone. There is a profound lesson to be learned here. Jesus could have called an angel to roll the stone away. Jesus could have pushed it himself. He could have commanded the stone to roll itself away. But Jesus was constantly calling people to cooperate, to work with him. And he said, you take part in this with me. You do what you can. You roll the stone away. And since we are celebrating All Saints Sunday, let me tell you a story. One day, a man was walking through a beautiful church building with his 4-year-old son. As they walked, The young boy looked around. He stopped and was curious about the stained glass windows and looked too beautiful, so beautiful with all their bright colors. As he looked at the windows, he asked, Who are all these people in the windows, Daddy?" "They are saints," the father replied. "What are saints, Daddy?" The father was stuck. How was he going to explain who saints are to a 4-year-old boy? As the boy was still looking up at the windows and the father was still wondering how he would explain who saints are, the young boy shouted out, "I know who saints are, Daddy. They are people that the light shines through. They are people that the light shines through. Let your light shine before others," is what Jesus is urging each of us today. He's calling us to roll away the stone. He's calling us to take part in what He is doing. He's calling us to walk with Him. How lovely the Son of God asked us to be His co-workers. So when Jesus said, "Take away the stone," at this point, Martha's faith failed. Is that not like us? So many of us. Yes, we believe that God is almighty. Yes, we believe that God is omnipotent, omniscient. God is so powerful. God can do anything. But when it comes to a particular situation that we have to believe in, then it's at that point that all our common sense, all our reasoning, all our logic, all our past experiences swamp our faith and we just can't believe it. Martha said, "Lord, you realize what you are doing? What are you going to do? Roll away the stone?" But Jesus said, "Whose word are we going to take? Yours or mine?" And this is the question He asked us today. Nathaniel, whose word are you going to take? Yours or mine? He asked us today. And then He said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Our gospel passage this morning gives us this glimpse of death defeated. A dead man comes walking from the tomb at the simple command of Jesus, "Come out!" Thus death, for largeness, is defeated. What was Jesus feeling as He stood at the empty tomb with stone rolled away? I don't know, of course, but we can imagine, can't we? As He looked into the empty tomb, I wonder if He thought like this: in a few weeks, they will be putting me in a tomb like this and rolling a stone over me, all because of what I have done just now. You see, the plain, stark truth is that when Jesus brought Lazarus back to life, He sealed His own death. This event which finally caused the Jews to make definite plans about His assassination. He only gave Lazarus life at the cost of His own greater love has no one than this, that he laid his life for his friends, says St. John. He died so that we might live. What a cost! What a cost! In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.